Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you know, are those investments still around? Any ones that you made?
It never happened.
Oh, it never did.
The program never really got off the ground because he was too worried about it. It meant that he would have to, he would have to really compromise his lifestyle as he had become accustomed to it.
Uh-huh.
He was, well, it's no secret how he lives, okay, in the sense that he lives a very opulent lifestyle. There's just, what he does in that opulent lifestyle is what's hidden. The fact that he's not, that really his life is the antithesis of what he teaches and requires from his devotees. That's the part that he hides. But the fact that he has all these material belongings, well, he used to try and hide that too. And we used to try, you know, he would want us to cover it up in Divine Light Mission. We would find ways to charge off things that we bought for him to various Divine Light Mission departments so that they could be hidden within our financial statements. But he lives a very, very opulent lifestyle, and he just really doesn't. To me, it's greed. You know, I feel sorry for him because I feel he got programmed into this role. I don't see how there can be a happy ending for anybody involved, including him, ultimately. But nonetheless, because he's not even happy now. That's the irony of the whole thing. I mean, consumerism is like a disease with him. He no sooner has the object of his desire, whether it's a new Maserati or Rolls Royce or whatever, Aston Martin, he's thinking about the next thing. It's got to be a helicopter. It's got to be a Grumman Gulfstream II. It's got to be this or that. I mean, he just craves all of these symbols of wealth that once he has them, he can't even use them because he really doesn't even... I mean, what can you do? I mean, even when I was there, and I'm sure it's gotten worse since then, there was not enough garage space to keep all of his cars. And we had like 6 garages. Okay. So, I mean, it got to be really to the point where I couldn't take it anymore. I found out that he wasn't going to change, and I couldn't countenance what he was doing. The Premies have no idea. I mean, there's a lot that Premies have and experience and share that is really wonderful and I felt could possibly be preserved. But, and it continues. But the thing is, it continues with all these attributions to Maharaji that are just totally unfounded. That anything that goes right in Premies' lives, they attribute to him.
Mm-hmm.
And now, from what I understand, it's completely unabated. It's just total idol worship. He is God, and the realization, the only realization that's being talked about is the realization that he's the Lord. So it's gotten completely away from what it originally was. And this, to me, is another similarity. I mean, Jones' group changed over the years and became a group of idol worshippers. And that's essentially what's happened to Maharaji's group as well.
Yeah.
And that kind of absolute power over people has a tremendously corrupting influence. Like I said, I watched Maharaji change just in the few years that I knew him. And he's still young, but he doesn't have any other influences on his life now except his past conditioning, and we all have to deal with that. Okay, and if you're living a lifestyle that's not only injurious to others, but that's also self-destructive, and you don't have the courage to make a change, well then, there's not much anybody else can do for you. I don't see that Maharaji's going to change. I don't see that he's even going to have to confront the issues all that much in the way things are presently structured, because he won't even allow anybody around him to know enough about what's going on to even be able to speak to him in the manner that I used to be able to.
How do you feel the people who are very close to Maharaji, like Durgaji and all the people who are with him all the time, are they, do you think like they're fooled, or?
No.
They just see that Maharaji's...
Let's put it this way, Peter. We all fool ourselves to a certain extent, okay? It's not that they're fooled. It's that they fool themselves over and over and over again into finding a reason to believe in spite of everything else. And we used to go through this with Marilyn all the time, because she, in the early years, was very much, I mean, it was a shock to her to find out what Maharaji was really like after she married him. It was a tremendous adjustment. And then also, well, you know, you come to love people that you're with all the time. We were really concerned for him. We were concerned because he was destroying himself. And I was doubly concerned, although this is something she didn't have to deal with, none of the other people there did, was the impact of what he was doing was having on the lives of these other people, Premies, who were living on the edge of destitution, really out of a result of policies that he dictated. Ashram Premies, who were becoming socially and culturally inept and being victims of economic exploitation just because of his gluttonous appetite. These kinds of things I knew about as well. So I was doubly concerned. And we confronted, Marilyn was part of the whole push in 1975 to get Meraji to change things. Okay, but also I've seen how Meraji manipulates her. I mean, he's a powerful person. He can influence people, particularly at that. I mean, if you're invested to the extent that Marilyn is.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do?